This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome on into game day, everybody. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Cullen Steele in the studio as we get ready for kickoff. High noon in the Caesars Superdome against the New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And get those rattles ready, gentlemen.
It's rattler time, baby. I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited.
You've been waiting, and it's fine. Oh, your wish has been granted.
I'm excited. I think it's going to go very badly, personally. Like, if you had to, if I was making prognostications.
Ooh.
But I'm excited about it. Let's be real. I mean, like, my longstanding take is that rookies struggle in the NFL. That's just that's the way of life. That doesn't mean you shouldn't play them. That doesn't mean that they can't be good. That doesn't mean they can't get better. But you're asking a lot of that kid today. Like, this is a I kind of put it this way, you know, during the week, is like, hey, if I before the season said I will give you a button, you have to pick two games where you start your backup rookie quarterback and you throw him into the fire, which games would you pick? They would not be these two games. They would not be back-to-back short weeks where you have a limited time to plan, particularly not when the team you're facing has 10 days to prepare. Now, they haven't had 10 days to know that the backup would be in there, but I still don't like it.
I hope you are fueling up for game day. Luke Augusta just hooked me up with some coffee, getting ready for
a
noon kickoff, like I mentioned that. Also, 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon Bobby Aber will be joining us for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. And obviously, we were talking about Spencer Rattler there, folks.
Oh, we didn't say his name, did we?
Right. If you didn't hear, Derek Carr has suffered an oblique injury. He's definitely going to miss this game. And, you know, speculation
is. Most likely Thursday.
Right,
yeah.
Thursday night football right afterwards against the Denver Broncos.
It's hard to imagine a guy who's not ready to go for Sunday will suddenly be ready to go for Thursday.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. I don't think it works that way. It's just not enough time. If it was Sunday, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I think you're looking at two games of Spencer. So let's see what he can do.
Talking about those injuries, looking at our LCMC health update, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Obviously, Derek Carr in that number of being out for this matchup. Also, Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz. We have Will Harris and Pete Werner out for the Saints, definitely. And then questionable is a Peyton Turner, a Lucas Patrick. Kendra Miller also questionable.
Yeah, we don't have to call him questionable anymore. He's back.
He is back.
Yeah, he's listed as questionable, but it's not questionable for health. So they kind of made that decision yesterday. They added him to the active roster. They moved Will Harris to injured reserve. So that opened up that roster spot. They elevated Jonathan Abram and Chris Reed from the practice squad. So you didn't – I was curious whether they would do it that way, whether they might give, say, Kendra, hey, we're going to wait one more week, and we're going to sign Jonathan Abram to the active roster. Instead, they used Will Harris's roster spot to bring Kendra Miller back, which I think is the smart move because I need something. I need something on offense that is more than Alvin Kamara running the ball. And but you're still getting Jonathan Abram. I think this is his second elevation from the practice squad, so you get one more before you have to sign him to the active roster. But I expect him to be the guy today. I think he's going to kind of fill in that role, at least based on what we saw last week.
Yeah, you mentioning, obviously, Will Harris, I said, was out. He's really out. They say
he's on injured reserve.
Right. Looking at also, you mentioned Jonathan Abram. Also, Chris Reed have been elevated to the active roster from the practice squad. If you're not aware, Chris Reed, a guard for this team. You know, you look
guard
some of the names.
He's played a lot
you
of
look
center.
At, you're like, wait a minute, who is that?
Well, I think so. That, to me, is kind of insurance. I think it depends on Lucas Patrick. I think it's good. If I'm guessing, I think it's a situation where you're going to see if Lucas Patrick can go. And I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Reed is inactive just because Lucas can go and you feel good about it. Whereas if he can't go, then you don't have a backup center. So Chris Reed would be your backup center, and Connor McGovern would probably start at center. I expect Connor to start either way. because if Lucas is active, I'm probably putting him at guard. So we'll see how that goes.
The Buccaneers also having their injury concerns with the offensive line. Center Graham Barton out for this game. That's a big hit for them. You also look at corner Christian Eisen out. Trey Palmer, wide receiver, and Jalen McMillan, Cameron Johnson, three wide receivers right there for the Buccaneers, all out. And defensive lineman Ernest Brown, well, dealing with a rib injury, is out for them. Questionable, Jalen McMillan, Jordan Whitehead, Antoine Winfield, and Luke Getke, and Kalijah Kansi. But I'm fully expecting Kalijah to be in that mix today, finally back for them.
Yeah, I think he'll be limited. Getke, I would expect, you know, he's tough. He's been full in practice all week, but he's dealing with a concussion. So he's been out for a while with that concussion. Honestly, the one you didn't name is the most impactful, and that's Rashad White.
I was going to say the running back doubtful, yeah.
I would not expect him to go when you're going to get a good dose of Bucky Irving and whatever else behind him. But, no, I mean, this is one of the first weeks that I felt like the Saints are on an even playing field with the other team in terms of injuries. Other than maybe the Falcons, this is the second straight NFC South matchup that neither team had their starting center and weird, another, and likely another major piece of that offensive line. So, you know, that should work to the Saints' benefit to some extent, right? Like, you should be able to generate pressure. Baker has always been a guy that I think is underrated in terms of his ability to extend plays. We saw, like, if you put Pat Mahomes at a 10 of 10 in terms of ability to extend plays, which I do,
yeah,
I'd put Baker in the 7.5 to 8 range. Like, he's up there. He's really good at it. Now, he's not as elite at it as Pat, but if you go back to that week 4 matchup last year, that was the story. It was, hey, the Saints are getting pressure. Baker's extending. There was a touchdown to Kate Otten in the first half where Cam Jordan came unblocked and Baker just found a way to make a miss and then just, like, dumped it over the top. Like, that, you can't let that happen today. So, you know, hopefully they figured something out, because that was, again, like, that was a big story last week. You know, Saints generated pressure. We talk about their pass rush and say, hey, they're not getting home. They're getting there. They're not getting the quarterback to the ground. That's the problem. So hopefully that changes today.
Yeah, we know Baker isn't a guy that's really going to, you know, take off and run, but he does have that escapability, very mobile guy.
Yeah, he got some wiggle. I would call it wiggle.
And I would think Spencer's kind of that same type of quarterback with the wiggle. He's really not, you know, someone that's going to take off.
He is, though. Like, I want to see more of that from Spencer.
The escape or just the designed runs?
No, when Spencer gets into trouble, I think he bails on the pocket too early, and he's not necessarily looking to extend the play. He's looking to get out and run. And I think you need a balance of that. And I think if Spencer, as he gets more and more experience, I think that's going to be more of what you see. But I kind of expect to see a guy who panics a little bit. And I'm not trying to say that in a negative way. When you're in your first career NFL start, there's going to be a little bit of that. You're going to rush a little bit. Your clock's going to get sped up. But I hope you can see more of that. I hope you can see him scrambling a little bit to extend the play, because that's how you really stress the defense. Like, running, great. Running, obviously, forces the defense to account for an extra body, and that changes the dynamic a little bit. But if you really want to snap a defense in half, force them to have to cover for 5, 6, 7 seconds and then hit someone downfield. You want to break their will, that's how you do it. Like, running for 20 yards, great, but they're like, okay, fine, you got it that time, we'll get you next time. When you do what Pat was doing to the Saints defense last week, there's no coming back from that.
You know, we did the Inside Black and Gold podcast the other day. There, I can get it out right. And, you know, I mentioned, oh, these are, you know, NFC South matchups, always tight ones between the Saints. And you're like, not really between the Saints and Bucks. So I'm there going to look at some of the numbers afterwards. And it really is surprising that, you know, these typically aren't your field goal type games between these two teams.
No, I mean, there haven't been a lot of blowouts. Like, you're not talking about like 20, 30 point wins other than that one in Tampa, the 38-3 game. But 9 of the last 10 meetings between these two teams, including the playoff game, was a two score final line, right? Whether it was not like that 9-0 game, like, not a huge scoring game. You would say that was close, but it's a two-score game. You can't score nine points in one try. It's just that you could try as much as you want. It's not going to happen for you. You haven't seen these games come down to the wire. And it's interesting because the Saints have seen back-to-back, or not back-to-back, but two out of the last three games come down to the wire like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And the other element of this series that's kind of bizarre You go back the last eight matchups, the road team has won six of the last eight games in this matchup, and that would be seven of eight if the Saints hadn't blown a 16-3 lead with 4 minutes to go in the 2022 season out in Tampa.
Right.
So, like, the road team has been dominating. Like, the Saints won that – they dominated that game, but they lost it. The road team has been dominating in this series, and it's hard to explain. It's kind of inexplicable. You'd think the home team would have the advantage. They have not.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.